Sentinel and by population reporting, I'm referring to the existing NQF population of measures. I'm sorry, I'm mixing up inappropriate use of the word population there. That we look at in terms of the notion of sentinel measures, and that we look at it in terms of where we would like things to go, so that we systematically look at these questions, but through two different lens, and that will then allow us to march through the different sections rather than have sort of a large free-floating thing up in front. And then, frankly, my concern is we would then start repeating ourselves when we got to the questions again. So does that approach seem fair? Yeah. Thanks, Helen. And then why don't we just proceed that way, then?
So would it be okay, Joe, Joel, if you could take us back to these sections and just give us a little just brief review?
Sure. Let me just the next slide, I think, would be enough. Well, because you already know about this one. Oh, sorry, the one after this. Yeah, we were also trying to think operationally about what the charge of the group was, and we were trying to think of the different measures in different buckets. And so we kind of thought of the measures that currently exist. And I think in previous conversations, there are some measures that are already stratified by race and ethnicity, and there either are or are not disparities evident in those. And, you know, at least our suggestion at the outset was to take those as disparity measures. Now, I think in light of some of the conversation about whether or not there should be a relatively focused group or whether you should go through everything is something that you all are probably going to have to decide. But then I think the other criteria that we mentioned that are worth considering are there may be some focused measures that have clear evidence of disparities that you really want to put in as basically to profile an organization, but then we should think about other kinds of scenarios, other situations that are worth exploring and that we may not be looking at this point. And that and these other criteria come into play. A high degree of discretion, and I would put in kind of evolving technologies. I mean, I think the literature is replete with examples of disparities of evolving technologies where there's a lot of discretion. Some of the early work that I did with Arnie Epstein on coronary artery bypass graft and PCI is a good example of that. Communication-sensitive services, as we're finding more and more, that those are the ones that persist as having disparities and so on. So this is just a way of, we can't answer how big a bread box to look at, but if you want to kind of think about the measures as being in different buckets with and without evidence of disparities, with and without measures stratified by race and ethnicity, and then where to look for other measures that might not be there, especially as you entertain measure development recommendations, these might be helpful to think about. Joe, you want to add?
Okay, so in terms of some of the global questions I heard the committee raise around this section, what I heard was create simplicity about what should be measured. And one of the solutions offered was to just require everything be, looked at in the portfolio by race and ethnicity. So that this notion of a subset, if you will, of disparity-sensitive measures has been overtaken by events, OBE, as we used to say at VA. So I think that's one of the big picture recommendations that the committee, should opine on. And it will be very helpful. I mean, as I think Marshall or someone said, maybe we could get rid of part of our agenda in, one fell swoop by just saying, yes, we don't need to apply all these existing criteria. So some discussion for the staff would be useful.
Well, this isn't exactly following up on on that comment, but I'm just looking at the slide, and what I see there, the one point that's up there that I feel is the most like problematic, not problematic in a bad way, but in terms of having issues surrounding it, is that focus, the recommendation to focus on outcomes rather than process measures. I see those as obviously valuable, but they're the ones that bring in the most issues related to risk adjustment. And I feel like there's probably everyone in the room has different ideas about the issue of risk adjustment. I just feel like it's if we come up with a recommendation that yes, we think we should be in the area of disparities, we need to be focusing more on outcomes. Have we really thought that one through or not? What I've been on, thank you, activities, is some of these outcomes where the issues of attribution are unclear that lead to the most debate and protracted discussion and like uncertainty about what the measure is trying to do.
I have just one quick comment on that, and that is that I think that the issue with outcomes often comes back to the accountability responsibility issue about is the provider accountable or responsible for outcomes once the patient leaves their door? And I think that discussion is evolving. And a great example of that is hospital readmissions, where, you know, hospitals have said in the past, we're not responsible for readmissions. Well, I think the world is changing. And that there is a certain responsibility. We haven't figured out exactly how that's going to be accomplished, but there is a certain responsibility to reach out in the community, to engage the patient in ways that that reduce those sorts of adverse outcomes. So I agree with you, and at the same time, I think that we have to. I at least see an evolving discussion around those issues.
And I would just add too. I mean, we tried to. I think for some, this works better than for other issues. So we gave the example of flu shot, right? So you could look at flu shot by race and ethnicity and see no disparities in offering a flu shot to the patient. But then you look at actual receipt of flu shot by patient, patient getting the flu shot. And unless you identify, you know, people could very easily check the box, mammogram offered. I mean, this is the major kind of hub of the work around cultural competence, is that we can say, yeah, I offered this, but the patient refused. That's the very easy way out. If you don't look at the receipt of services, you'll never know that there's a problem, and you won't figure out ways to solve it, I believe. So I think for some, there's risk adjustment required. They're more complex. For others, I think they become ways for us to identify areas for innovation, for more work, for interpreters, for language, for information in a low-level health literacy, for assuring that an interpreter is present. I think there's other systematic things that you could learn about that. I think so there's probably several of them. We gave an example of flu shot that lend themselves well to outcome measurement as a way of driving improvement. And I think we've done that around diabetes, where we just took some very big slices. We didn't get caught up in whose the attribution was. We just know that we need to do better with Latino diabetics because we're doing less well for them. Now then you start to experiment and figure out what you need to do, and it runs the gamut between public health issues and medication adherence. So that's my perspective on it.
Just make one comment that NQF already updated our evaluation criteria this past year, did a whole task force on evidence guidance, and specifically recommended only measures that are outcomes or process measures with a clear link to outcomes. And so we've already said distal measures too far from the outcome won't get through regardless whether it's disparities or not. It's just, so I think one caution for us going forward is I don't think we need to spend a whole lot of time on issues that are sort of across all measures. A good measure is a good measure regardless of the purpose. We wouldn't want a measure that's so distal process-wise, but it's a good point.
Yeah, and our work on looking at organizations, what they were doing process structure-wise, that's the same question that came up over and over again. How can you link this to outcomes? If we have the presence of X, you know, of procedure of some sort, what does it mean in the context of outcomes? And that was what was missing. Organizations were looking at it only from the presence of the process or the structure, not looking at it as the link to outcome. And so we'll move over to Elizabeth and then Romana.
We've been having a discussion here. So you'll probably hear both our thoughts in this conversation. So we were just wondering about the 700 measures that are already out there. Would it be worthwhile then to think about which of those would be disparate sensitive measures? I mean, I think that's what you proposed. But one of the ways in thinking about making this simplistic is making sure that we're not asking people. It's hard. Sometimes it's really hard as we talk about sample size issues and language issues. And sometimes it's hard to stratify across all those measures. And do we want to simplify it by actually making it easier on people? In addition to seeing, well, of those 700 measures, maybe there are 10 or 20 that aren't captured there that we think are really important. So I do think that there's, I agree with the simplicity, but I also don't want to miss important things that we might, that would be important to look at if we don't think outside those 700 measures. So I'll just stop.
Actually, I have a direct question. So of the, and if I missed this in the report, and it was there, I'm sorry, but of the 700 measures, so this is on page 19 of the report, of the 700 measures of quality of care for both ambulatory and institution-based, of those 700, how many in the last disparity-specific committee were endorsed as disparity-sensitive? 35?
They were just ambulatory, though, right?
They were just ambulatory, though. Right. So,
how many total ambulatory and what percentage is disparity-sensitive? Kind of a point-in-time estimate, which is why we wanted to revisit this. It's about 4 years ago. My guess is it was probably out of about 150 or 200, but it's just a guesstimate. But again, there's many more measures now.
So I also just wanted clarity in terms of Robin, the question that Robin posed, which is, you know, one of the most simple things that we could do is say, and I don't know if I'm interpreting the recommendation correctly or, you know, what we're supposed to deliberate, but one recommendation being that we just say across all the 700 measures, we put a recommendation out there that says that we stratify, period. So that's one. Then the second layer is that we want to make sure that we're not missing sentinel disparities measures that we, you know, that we absolutely should be focusing on, which we to date have not basically brought to the table. So that those are the two, I mean, I'm very much oversimplifying right now, but those are kind of the two broad strokes that we're contemplating. And then Liz offered a little bit more nuance in terms of going back to the 700, and you know, we talked about the 35 or so ambulatory disparity sensitive measures. We don't have inpatient, but Joel, for example, just, you know, brought up the example of the readmission measure, which is a really important one. It's very timely. I mean, there's a clear policy link to it. There's a incentive. I mean, there's or a disincentive, or however you want to look at it. So I guess what I'm asking for is clarity of the question, and did I frame what Robin was asking us to contemplate accurately?
Yeah, and I getting back to the larger picture versus the detail, one of the, I think, attending questions is, could you use some subset of sentinel indicators or another group for guidance? Now that these are more concrete, recognized measures that are more broadly accepted or understood, and perhaps a charge that could be put on the table. So could you then build an agenda around making sure that there is a practical application that would then resonate, again, come back to the field, and field say, okay, well, now I understand how to use this, how what importance it has, and perhaps how it has broader effect in terms of other measures.
I just wanted to comment on the 700, you know, look at them all or not. Of course, I can't come up with a good example now, but I remember as we started to go through them, there were some that just, when you looked at them, you just said, this doesn't really have, and I don't have a good example, but I remember multiple saying, yeah, there's no there. So,
going through all 700.
Right. But it may be worth maybe at some point for the committee to get a snapshot of some of these. We don't have them accessible here. Because then that might be, you know, you might be able to more clearly see whether, you know, which path is worth going down, because you might say, well, these. I also think the actionable, feasible lens is worth thinking about as well, as you mentioned.
Mara, then Ramon, are you back on? No, Ramon.
I guess another way of looking at this is, instead of an opt-in, which is sort of the framework you've put, do we do an opt-out? And I mean, I'm sort of going back as an advocate, and I don't know the practicalities of
how this works in the field. So, you know, I leave it to the rest of you for that reality check. But maybe what we're really thinking of is we want to include as many as possible. And so we should be starting with that threshold of, yes, all 700 should be in. But maybe there is some subset. And maybe it's, you know, I don't know how many, but that shouldn't be in for whatever rationale. But there's a really good rationale for why they shouldn't be in, as opposed to trying to find ways to get, you know, put them in the bucket. It's really how do we take them out of the bucket. And I think the basis for that, at least in my thinking, is probably based on I'd rather push as far as we can go. We're at a good crossroads. Two, what I hate about existing disparities research is it always seems to be focused on the same darn conditions because the standards and the basis is there, so we keep getting that data over and over again, and we don't really have an you know, we really don't see it expanding as much as I'd like it to. And so I guess that's just possibly a different way of thinking of it. Is there any way to do it as we all are in until there's a really good rationale for taking them out?
So I think kind of big picture, looking at all 700 is very appealing, but from a practical standpoint, it just is, just thinking about it and not even having to do it is overwhelming. And looking at it from the health plan perspective and also looking at it from the hospital perspective, the physician in the office perspective, it's just, it's just not going to, so it's just not going to work. So I think having it out there as the goal, but then having either something staged that has some rationality with some statement of, we recognize ideally it should be 700, but we also recognize that it's not going to happen, and therefore we've come to this subset, and here's the reason. And in that second bullet, the four sub-bullets are very appealing from the standpoint of, I think they're very actionable kind of one-on-one at the practitioner level. They resonate at the health plan level, and they also tie to what's going on related to consumers, as well as medical home, ACOs. It just really lines up with a lot of things that are kind of converging right now. So does that become a set of filters for some subset of the measures?
The guy whose tent fell over, Marshall.
I missed the question for Helen again in terms of, so in practice, I don't think anyone's going to be doing 700 measures. And so there are other NQF initiatives like MAP where they're going to try to come up with a subset, which I'm gathering is going to be more than what, like 40 to 100. So again, it's a similar discussion that's already happening, so that in some ways it's moot that, you know, we're going to have a system, we'll do all 700, but there are wider umbrella NQF initiatives that is already coming it down for us in terms of for the general population. So it gets back to Romana's point that in some ways it may be, well, we're saying, well, do race ethnicity language on whatever generic subset you're going to be done, but then don't forget about these disparities, sentinel or disparity-specific things, which you haven't included, but, you know, we as a committee think we have added value in terms of saying you should do these also.
What Marshall's referring to is that there is another effort in NQF now called the Measures Application Partnership, which is trying to at least make recommendations on the selection of measures for various case performance and or public reporting programs. They're struggling right now trying to figure out exactly what those criteria are. We've been working with them to think that through. And I don't think any of us are saying, therefore, the result of this committee is stratify all 700. I'm trying to think about more principles going forward. So if measures come back up to us for maintenance, you know, a principle is you must always, staying strong, and every measure that comes back to NQF for maintenance must have data on the measures in use and the available data on disparities. And then potentially you follow something like this to say, if you're going to publicly report or use these measures to pay for performance, you would want to stratify them. I mean, NQF endorsed measures aren't endorsed just for the purpose of QI. You can use any measure you want for QI. If someone's going to pull up a measure and use it, select it for payment in a renal bundled payment program, or use it for payment in a hospital program, then, boy, based on the data we've seen, this is one that should be considered stratified before you do your payment. Things like that. I think it takes it to a different level. I don't necessarily want the city to say, blanket, all 700 disparity sensitive. I think that would feel sort of false and incredibly impractical.
So we have a quick issue because here's where the lever is, I mean money. And so we're talking like either asshole pay for performance, reimbursement, or else public reporting. That's where there's power. So that's where we need to really be careful in terms of making sure we get it right in terms of our recommendations regarding the disparity measures. Because that's where it's going to have an impact.
Yeah. Currently, there's no requirement that of the measures that CMS or others pick up for payment, that they stratify or look at any of that. And I think the timing is right, given the fact that those data are now increasingly available. That could be a pretty important lever that we've never had before, which I think was part of the idea of bringing this to you again 5 years later.
But I agree. I mean, I wasn't expecting there to be like a trigger date and all of a sudden on X date you have to, you know, do it. I do like the idea of, you know, as things come up for review, and I guess I would also suggest, is it practical to say as a new standard just coming through, you need to evaluate whether you can do it from the get-go, because at least in other data collection, it's easier to do it from the get-go rather than go back a couple of years later and fix it. So that might be another principle, is one, as existing standards are coming up for renewal, what's the lens on which they are evaluated? And two, as a new standard is being developed, can you make sure that you're developing it in such a way that you are addressing the disparities issues?
Yeah, Colleen, coming back to your point, it doesn't necessarily preclude using those 4 points there as guidance for health plans or others. We're thinking in a broader scheme, but in terms of interpretation and guidance for application, that could easily apply. Norman?
I'd like to say that orthopedic surgeons or our society has been at the forefront of diversity, but I must say that I disagree with you, Helen. I don't think the wind is necessarily behind our sails, at least for orthopedic surgeons, because we do a needs assessment, and we did one, I forget, 5 or 8 years ago, and culturally competent care was low. Reimbursement, other advocacy issues were high up. And we redid that needs assessment recently, 2 or 3 years ago, and still culturally competent care, although we set up a diversity board, we've done teaching, we've done education, marketing. So my point to you is that, I mean, I don't want to keep the measures too plain I agree with simplicity, but they have to be good. You know, garbage data in, garbage data out. So maybe one of the motives of our measures would be to raise awareness of culturally competent care and healthcare disparities amongst our grassroots surgeons and physicians. And I think that would be another motive for the measures that we do.
I will say that I still haven't heard clarity yet on which way the committee feels. And so I don't know if you want to literally run the table or not, Dennis. I don't think that we have clear guidance on how to handle this. Or if we don't want all 723 in there, what are our specific exclusionary criteria, if you will, going to be? Are we going to go with these four, some other add-on to this four or something? I think we just need to be a little bit more crisp.
I think it again, I open it up to the table too, but my interpretation is we're talking about do we come up with something that's more, as I said, more broadly applicable, or do we select out certain subset and use that as a starting point for organizations, for plans that would recognize these as indicators that, okay, we want to, we know these, we can use these to build on for guidance for the field. I mean, there's a question, I think the question on the table is, do we want to go broadly, or do we want to go more narrowly, or do we want to do some hybrid of some sort that would provide the potential to consider and parameters for considering other measures while you set up a design that considers specific measures to begin with. Does that capture it, Robin? Lucy?
Yeah,
Yeah, I think I agree with what you just said. My sort of position listening to this is that we'd want to be more inclusive, and while 700 measures are a lot of measures, I mean, there are 700 measures, so that there should be a reason not to include them rather than looking for reasons to include them. But at the same time, it's important to really, you know, highlight those that are particularly important or valuable. So I think we can do both. So that the whoever created the 700 measure, there are the 700. So you don't want to give automatic outs, but realizing that it's not going to be valuable for all of these. And I was thinking in terms of the potential maybe to even detect disparities as to where they might not be apparent. And along those lines, I wanted a clarification on one of the points in the slide. So the when you speak to data exists and show no disparities, is that data, it does not show disparities, or it shows that there are no disparities?
No data exists on disparities?
Yeah, because I'm saying that you may not show disparities that exist because they weren't detected. And that's where, you know, my sort of tilt toward being more inclusive, because it is possible that there's no reason to suspect or think that there are disparities, but in fact they do exist for reasons that may not be apparent.
I think you could go a little, and we were driven a little crazy by thinking of all the different possibilities.
Oh, I'm sorry. There probably are a lot of different possibilities for how you look at this, but there are, you know, starting from the simplest, there are some measures for which are already stratified and they're clear data, and you start from there. And then after that, you've got a lot of different scenarios. And I think what we were pointing out here is that there may be some situations where either the measure has not been stratified by race ethnicity, or maybe it has, and it's not showing disparities, and yet there's a suspicion that actual disparities should miss, maybe exist, that that for some reason or another this measure is missing something that one might suspect based on either these other criteria or based on other literature that something exists. So I think there are a lot of different ways to go beyond that. I'm sorry if that wasn't as clear as it could be.
I actually want to echo what Luther just said. My suspicion is that of the 700 measures, not all are going to be equally important and have equal impact on outcomes. And I think if you want to try to find something that's going to be relevant, as Romano just spoke about and what Marshall was going toward before, I think what the practicing physician wants to see is that when I do something, it actually has an impact on the care that I provide. And so maybe that should be a stratification of the criteria of the 700, the ability to actually have an impact in a measurable fashion that physicians can then see and perhaps be encouraged to continue culturally based thinking in terms of what they do in their practices. And I think that may be one approach to do this. And I think the idea of creating sentinel measures is also important, and although that's not what we're focusing on at this second, it's on the slide, so I thought I'd go there. When I first read it, I wasn't quite sure as to what was called for at that point, but now I think I'm developing a better understanding for it after hearing a bit of the discussion and thinking about it a little more deeply, in that there are some things that potentially the 700 measures don't account for, and I think this committee has a lot of expertise and could potentially be very useful in trying to identify those particular areas, and then as the call comes along to create a request for these additional measures, we could be very instrumental in helping to identify specific things that could be important in that regard, both impact as well as ability to measure in a responsible way.
So going back to what Marshall said about thinking about how these measures are used, I think that part of the challenge is that they're used many different ways, and that different healthcare systems are at very different stages in both their gathering and reporting of the data and how they use it. Despite sort of the best efforts to admonish organizations on how to use this data, some may potentially misuse it and sort of target resources. Since most organizations don't have new resources, then addressing disparities, which is obviously a goal, might come at the cost of shifting resources from some other area. And so they'll make the disparities maybe for the targeted measures go away, but if you don't continue to then monitor them as they then shift to other things, those disparities will come back. So I think it's important in thinking about the point about measures that show no disparities, that though they show no disparities this year, they may the disparities may recur in future years. And so I would not necessarily solely use that as a criteria for including versus not including stratification for a particular measure. The other thing is I really want to reiterate that I think there's a very important role for adding measures, particularly the four bullets that are up on the slide, in thinking about organizations that have gotten it, that they have to measure, report out disparities. Then the next challenge is how to translate the gap in reducing process outcome, process measures and reducing the disparities in outcome measures. And I think the, some of those missing steps, some of the missing links, have to do with communication and have to do with some of the other things that we're not currently measuring. So I would encourage us to move forward with encouraging some of those new measures.
I just wanted to mention, when you're looking at measurement as well, the government has put out the CAD out there for electronic medical records. And one of the things we might consider is partnering in as this moves forward, because from assessment tools to providing education to providing things that are health literate appropriate, that's a potential route for this. And there's a lot of grants out there. A lot of the health organizations are taking advantage of this carrot that has been put out there for monies to become more, as a country, going towards the total electronic medical record and starting from admission all the way to the continuum of care. I think that's a great avenue that perhaps partnering with them might provide not only an avenue but of capturing the data as well.
Elizabeth and then Marshall.
Sorry, I thought Marshall was next. I probably don't need to say this, but there's a lot of ideas going around here. I really want to echo something I think either Mary or Colette said about we don't want to make people more negative about thinking about these issues around providing equitable care, and we can do that if what we ask for is so burdensome. So I keep hearing 700 measures, and I'm going, oh, my God, how are we going to narrow that down? Because it's just we have to somehow figure out a way to bring it down to a way that would be more user-friendly to people, so it wouldn't be necessarily perceived as more of a burden and, again, kind of marginalize disparities again, as we've talked about, or make them viewed more negatively than, or continue to perpetuate that view that it's not something we should care about or it's just another thing we have to report and we don't, it's a burden.
So I have some points of information in the comments that maybe Helen and maybe Joe can comment upon. This measures application partnership that NQF is working on, it was charged by Congress as part of ACA to recommend performance measures for reimbursement and public reporting. And so that, and one of the first things it's designed to do is to basically create common measures across like all the federal agencies, so like HRSA and CMS, et cetera, which, if that does work, will be like the 800-pound elephant in the room in terms of, getting everyone on the same page and the private, partners, private insurers would follow also in terms of everyone would love to have sort of a uniform data set. So if it does take off, it will be very powerful. And at least like in the subgroup, on the clinician subgroup, it's a very similar list of criteria that people have been throwing around that, I think it was slide two or three, slides ago, Joel had, prevalence and actionability and morbidity, et cetera. These are exactly the same, terms that are being thrown around now as, at least in our subgroup, trying to come up with then, criteria for thinking about the measures that would be chosen. So, again, this issue of trying not to, duplicate and reinvent the wheel, if, Helen and Joe's on the steering overall coordinating committee for this map, if it did seem like this was going to work in terms of, there being consensus and, all these big players at the table in terms of, there being buy-in for this, in some ways, it'd be nice to be able to wait until, you know, there was that list of 45 measures or 100 measures as opposed to thinking about the 700. My guess is that a lot of the measures that will be coming up were really going to be the usual suspects, because like the last meeting we had, the usual suspects are the usual suspects for good reason. I mean, they're the prevalent conditions that cause a lot of morbidity, that have existing measures that, you know, are feasible to measure. My guess is then that a lot of them are going to be sort of very similar to the ones that have been talked about. But in terms of this committee, the big hole is going to be the things that aren't on the list of 700 right now. And so the things that do become in some ways, particularly, you know, our venue that, you know, other people won't think about because it's just not as high a priority. So things like interpreter services and limited health literacy measures, or some of the potentially like the pathway things that, like you gave an example of renal transplant, and there were a lot, to make a nice example, there's a lot of pathway communication things that are on the list that may not be come to mind initially in terms of more broadly people thinking about performance measures. So part of the question for Joe and for you, Helen, is, well, you know, how do we minimize duplicating the wheel? That, again, if it's going to be sort of big work by, in some ways, you know, bigger umbrella that are going to come up with the same measures, at least for part of this subset, you know, it be a lot of work for us to duplicate what will be 80% of the same in terms of, you know, existing measures versus, you know, us thinking about some of the things that would fall through the cracks by the other committees, not because they're bad committees, but because that's not their priority, thinking about disparities. So is it a mistake to say, well, you know, let's not duplicate what's going to be the duplication anyway in terms of what they're going to come up with, and plus think about the very specific things, or is that dangerous in terms of saying, well, we can't rely upon the map coming up with the measures and issues that we would think would be important, and so that we should go through this big process of going through the 700 and thinking about, you know, what are the things that are directly relevant for us. I mean, I still want us to do a lot of work that's going to be basically wasted work, potentially.
I'll start, Joe. If you want to add in anything, please do so. This map is new. We are just beginning this process. We've just literally got a draft set of criteria. You'll see a draft course that they've been starting to think through for the clinician group. I still think, and again, I don't have any great need to go back through each of the 700 measures and do this determination. If that's not necessary, that's not necessary. That's my first question to you guys. Do we need to do any of that? I mean, that's the real issue here. We did it for ambulatory care. We didn't do it for anything else. Having just done an ESRD committee, sure feels like to me ESRD is one of those places you'd want to say, boy, if you're going to look at these measures, make sure that the Crown Web, the system CMS uses for ESRD, includes the data to be able to stratify. So I'm happy to have you guys think this through however it makes the most sense in terms of the lens. Is it condition? Is it some of these cross-cutting issues that have been raised? I would not rely on the math to come up with the key ways we want to look at the measures that come to NQF for endorsement around disparities. I still think that's going to be, they're relying on this process for the selection. It's still the next step in the process. I do, however, think it's critical, and I know that's a big portion of tomorrow, that I definitely want this committee to tell us what are those kind of sentinel cross-cutting disparities measures and cultural competency measures that we should bring in. That's not an either-or to me. That's an and. We need to do both. I still want to be able to hold people's feet to the fire, to be very honest, when it measures up for maintenance. What do they have to give to NQF? What do they have to show us that they've at least been thinking about the disparities issue? Because if we don't, it won't come up. I mean, if it wasn't for people sort of really pushing on the issue and insisting on it, I mean, do you want NQF endorsing measures of low birth weight and not having somebody raise the specter saying, boy, if there's ever a measure you'd want to stratify, this is it. It's just really a question for you as we go through our process. That's endorsement of measures is still the first step before selection of measures. And I don't want it to be viewed as something that's an either or. But you could at the same point say that as a principle, whatever gets prioritized by the National Quality Strategy or by the Measure Application Partnership should definitely be stratified. I mean, that's one approach, saying the measures that are prioritized should always be stratified. Maybe that's one different approach to looking at this.
Joe, do you have any comments?
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I think the map is, you know, trying to find its sea legs. And, you know, this, I sit on that. This has occupied a lot of my oxygen around measurement in the last, you know, a couple of months. But I think now that this process is underway, that we have at least a paper, I'd like to offer to present it to that group so that they can at least wrap their mind. I mean, they're dealing with a lot of very, we're still at probably 50,000 feet, and this is probably down a bit. So I'm committed to, and I think certainly Helen as well, committed to keeping it in there. But I think it's going to be more an integration as it goes. And I think we'll do a good job of trying to prevent reinvention. But it's going to be a very iterative process. That's a long road yet. couple of years, perhaps.
I guess this is almost as much of a question as a comment, but in the same sense that there are 700 or so measures that currently exist in NQF, and MAP is coming up with a subset of those. So just because the 700 exist doesn't mean that an ACO or the organization has to select all those. But this is, NQF is coming up with a recommended subset that is that are really important and that should be used in a lot of different situations. And my understanding is that the same that there's a parallel charge here, that if your organization is interested in either reporting on disparities or incenting on disparities behavior, here is a subset of measures that you might think about using. Is that a good way to state it? And almost by definition, then you're saying that the charge of this committee is really to come up with a subset that would be a focused subset that would represent the experience of disparities. It wouldn't be perfect. It wouldn't be everything, but it would be something to focus on.
Yeah, say our bringing up the 700 was more from the standpoint of, you know, it's a spectrum, right, for consideration for the committee. On one end, you know, you're thorough, you go through all, you vet them all, and you pick, you know, and then there's a whole spectrum of different things I think you could do there. I don't think it's, you know, our firm recommendation that you start and look at all the 700. I think the committee, it's up to you all to decide which way to go. But that's, you know, from the most thorough to, you know, a couple of different approaches in between is what's, I think, at your disposal.
Alan? Well, I think that that's the question we're going to come back to. You know, that's what we'll probably vote on in some way, shape, or form. Is your point? Yes, Alan.
I just want to say I really appreciate Helen's approach to this, and it feels what I mean. You know, 700, however many numbers of measures is. I don't know if is necessarily the point in that more so. Whatever standards are established, it somehow changes the culture and the way we do the work and how we look at it. So it's not an added effort, right, to do this disparities this work. It's part of a health system's kind of everyday process. And I don't, you know, I think the way you articulate it in terms of new measures coming in or whatever, always having that lens on it is great. So however we get there through the measures or whatever other standards that are set, I think that's really where I would like to see the kind of the eye on the prize. You know, it could be two, but if it changes the system in a dramatic way, that would be huge, right, in just how they do everyday processes. And I don't know what that is, but I just...
Okay. I think, Elizabeth, I think you had your... Oh, and now it's down. Oh, thank you. Donna, and then Romana. Pardon? And then break for lunch.
Okay.
And Ernie, and that's it.
So 700 is a big number for us to sort of wrap our, at least for me, to sort of wrap my mind around. And so I was looking again at the framework in this paper, which I think is really a useful starting point, that thinking about structure, process, and outcomes, sort of where the 700 measures fit in that framework, and also more importantly, thinking about the roots of the disparities. So if we really want something actionable and we're really if the end result of this whole process is not just better measurement, but taking that better measurement and using it to eliminate disparities, then maybe the approach is to think about which things do we have the greatest impact to change. And so, for example, you guys list the roots of disparities as provider-based, patient-based, system-based, or related to health insurance. We know a lot is happening with the Affordable Care Act. I think we've agreed that some of the patient-based social determinants, it's extremely important to stratify on those things, but perhaps it's the provider-based and healthcare system-based that the healthcare systems that are reporting this stuff out have the greatest ability to change. And so as a starting point, I would recommend looking at those system-based and provider-based measures. And then also a mix of both the conditions specific and cross-cutting. The thing I like about cross-cutting measures is their potential to perhaps influence multiple measures.
Where are we? Ernie?
Okay, I think I had two comments. One was hearing a lot of things around the table, I think, that were meant to try to protect the measure user. But I think, and the 700 comes to mind, I mean, but what are we going to do about that? But I think many of the recommendations we're talking about are actually for the measure suppliers, the measure developers. I don't think anybody uses all 700 measures, and if they do, they pick out which ones they want to use, right? And so I don't really have a problem with saying, well, for the measure developers, that they should consider stratification of these measures generically. It's not a burden on the measure users. They still get to pick what they're going to use. I did like the notion that was raised, which was, I think, the notion of a starter set for disparities measurement that would kind of hone things out. But the more I thought about it, I had some reservations, which is our simple observation looking at disparities and its variation, is that there are certainly some disparities that are highly prevalent across geographic locations, but they vary tremendously. And there are some places where they have less of one disparity and more of another disparity. And so I hesitate to restrict the starter set because it may not truly capture all the disparities that are there. I think maybe an alternative approach is to specify criteria for an organization to think about when they're selecting disparities measurement for themselves, or even a generic statement. Yes, users should consider the issue of disparities, which is a very general kind of comment, but that would be a recommendation I would favor more. So,
back to that guidance for how you select and how you choose. Don't just go by the starter set. You know, choose and learn how to use it for your organization, and what measures would be relevant for your setting.
Yeah, very simply, a good starter set for one place would not be a good starter set for another place.
Absolutely. Ramana? I think you, no. Yes. Marshall, are you back up again?
Yeah, just a question about like who does what, and what is the work of this committee versus NQF's fantastic staff versus no one doing the details and it's more general recommendations. So in other words, is the goal at the end of the day to have in a list of, for example, let's say it turns out there were 30, 40 disparity measurers that, is the end product, which involves, if we went through like MGH's recommendations, that's a really extensive process that just want to know, like, well, is that the goal? And if so, then what does this committee do versus NQS staff? So I guess it's about the charge. What is the end product, and what specifically do the people at the table expected to do versus NQS staff versus, some other entity?
Sure. The goal was, and Mass General proposed obviously this algorithm and measure selection, taking that information and applying it to all 700 measures would not be a charge of the committee. That would be something that NQF staff would do initially. If then we come to a resolution and say, okay, out of all 700, we found 50. We then would present that to the group and say, okay, this is the output of our work. What do you think?
Right, so having said that, that's why we're focused on having you try and identify the criteria that you want us to filter these measures through. We've heard support for the general categorization scheme, process, outcome, structure, provider, route, system-based route, patient experience. So I think that part is clear in our mind. And maybe we can take the break for lunch now and come back and hone in on some of those criteria. Mass General has teed up, that there be a primary focus on prevalence and the quality gap. But I heard, some question about also
the degree to which it's actionable. Some of that's going to fall up out again in the categorization scheme, but we need the committee's best input at this point. Really, you know, Robin, Nicole, Kristen, Elisa, if you focus on prevalence and quality gap, that's going to float the most important ones to the top. We can categorize them out and then come back, or if there are other things that you need us, filters that you need us to apply. So when we come back, so if you can think on that notion, when we come back, we can address that and then start addressing some of the other micro issues that we need to get through today.
So we'll take a 30-second break for lunch. And I think lunch is on outside.
Yeah, so I think the notion was for, you know, folks to take a break, you know, return whatever calls you need to do, get your lunch, and then come back
easier,
because we will have a working lunch.
Yeah.